Thank you, Anne. So it starts out so innocently with only the purest of loving intentions, but so the perspective of from Mary, the mother of Jesus. 2 weeks ago, our scripture featured these lines. When Jesus' family heard what he was doing, they thought he was crazy and went to get him under control. And Jesus' mother and brothers came outside and came and stood outside. And then they sent someone with a message for Jesus to come out to them. The crowd that was sitting around Jesus told him, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside and want to see you. And I said 2 weeks ago, can you imagine what Mary must be feeling right now? And it says that this is what, if you had asked her what she might say, it's that I am so worried about my son. I mean, you see those crowds around him? The Roman authorities are not going to ignore anyone with a following like that. I'm afraid he's going to end up like one of those radical zealot leaders, dead before he turns 40. And what's he teaching? Not what I taught him. I made sure he knew and followed every detail of the Jewish law, especially as it related to the Sabbath. I hear he's ignoring some of those laws, working on the Sabbath, picking grain in the fields. It's not the son I raised. He must be going crazy, and I've got to do something to get that son of mine under control, for I'm his mother, and I know what's best for him. I'm going to tell him exactly how he needs to change, if I can ever get his attention. He's been avoiding me lately. You know, Mary starts out so innocently with only the purest of loving intentions for Jesus. But you see, Mary cares about her son. She doesn't want to hurt him. She wants to motivate him to change his way. And that's the question for us to ponder today is how do we motivate people to change? Our scripture reading today that Em read features another person trying to motivate Jesus to change his ways. This time it's Peter. It starts out so innocently for Peter with only the purest of loving intentions for Jesus. But Jesus is honest with his disciples. He tells them he's traveling to Jerusalem, and Jesus acknowledges that in Jerusalem, the chief priests and the teachers of the law of Moses are likely, when he gets there, to try to arrest him. He says it's even possible that they find some way to get him killed. Now, Peter hears this and is naturally, as any of us would be, worried for Jesus. I mean, he doesn't want to see Jesus get killed. And so, like probably any of us would do, he takes Jesus aside and tries to motivate Jesus to change his ways. Says something to Jesus like, stop talking like you are. You're gonna get yourself hurt, and that's not gonna be any good for anybody. So that question, how do we motivate people to change? Past couple weeks, we've been looking at the book by Mel Robbins entitled The Let Them Theory. Now, in that book, she tells a story of a friend of hers. This is the story that she tells. She says, a good friend of mine is married to a guy who needs to get healthier. Maybe you're in the situation with someone you love too that, you know. She said, over the years, she has tried everything to get her husband to take control of his health. She says she's asked him, she's pleaded with him, she's hinted, occasionally broken down in tears in front of him, and it just worries her a lot. And she's even gotten angry with him and made, well, maybe some passive-aggressive comments, like signing him up for gym memberships or buying him some new sneakers. Of course, she's cooked him healthy dinners, even got him Peloton, what are those Pelotons? Is that like a, what is that? Like a, there we go. Exercise machine, yeah. She said nothing's worked. At this point, everything just makes her mad. Whether it's him ordering off the menu or his resistance to working out or his post-dinner desserts or the hours and hours he spends watching television every night. And she is just so mad that he won't change. Annoyed, so annoyed, even despite her nagging so much, he's just so annoyed. So it starts out really so innocently for her with only the purest of loving intentions, but, and I'm sure all of us have been there, we've been the one wanting to help someone change. Why? Because we love them. But we've also probably been the one someone else was trying to change because they loved us. So how do we motivate our loved ones to change? Mel Robbins, in her book, The Let Them Theory, says this. She said, one of the most common questions that's been asked over the years is this: how do I motivate someone else to change? And she said, the answer is simply this. You can't. That's the reality is people only change when they feel like changing. It doesn't matter how much you want them to change. It doesn't matter how valid your reasons are, or that you're right in your opinion that they should change, or how big the consequences are if they don't change. If someone doesn't feel like changing, they just won't. They won't, yeah. And worse, when you pressure someone to change, it just creates more tension, more resentment, more distance in your relationship. And as Andy showed,
they dig their heels.
That's right. So here's the truth, she said. When you push someone, makes that person push back. You're working against the fundamental law of human nature. People need to feel in control of their decisions. I mean, you want people in your life to change, but pressuring them is going to create resistance to it. And you may be acting in the best of, with the best of intentions, but it's yielding the worst result. That's because every time you fight against human nature, you're going to lose. People need to feel in control of their decisions. And that's really, as we think about what Mary was trying to do with Jesus, she was trying to control Jesus. And that's what, in our scripture today, the disciple Peter was trying to do with Jesus. Ah, interesting. Living on a... Peter was trying to control Jesus. And that's what the lady was trying to do with her husband. She was trying to control him. And all three pushed back without changing. So how do we motivate someone to change? Well, of course, the first thing that Mel Robbins says, those two words that she uses throughout her book. Andy, let's see if you can remember the two words that she used. The first word is let. Nope. Let them. There we go. Okay. The most loving thing you can do to stop pressuring them. Let them. Yeah. Acceptance of the other person is the foundation of a healthy, loving relationship. When someone feels that you accept them as they are, they feel safe with you. When you just let them be, you're accepting them for who they are right now. You let them be on their own timeline. Let them feel the consequences of their own inaction. Let them live their life. And that's actually what eventually happens in both of our scripture readings, or the two scripture stories, the scripture reading as well as the other scripture story. Mary eventually lets Jesus do the amazing work and teaching Jesus did. And Peter eventually lets Jesus go to Jerusalem, where Jesus is crucified. But both Mary and Peter are both there in Jerusalem with Jesus at the end. That eventually they both practiced, let them. They let Jesus do what he felt called to do. Mel Robbins does have a few suggestions for those who want to motivate someone to change. She said, now one way to actually motivate them in some way is to model the behavior change that we want to see and just walk the talk that we've been talking, we've been asking. We model the change And we make it look fun and easy. It's that subtle power of influence. In the second way, she says, just to be patient. People don't change overnight. It usually takes a long time for significant change to happen. And a third way to motivate someone to change really is to maybe celebrate or affirm any progress you see. And of course, we have to do this a bit cautiously so as not to use our affirmation as a tool of control or subtle manipulation. But positive attention can often be a good motivator. But it all starts and needs to be surrounded by the philosophy, let them. Let them have the control. And as I think about this approach to motivating people to change, I think about God. And I think about, how does God motivate us to change? I myself don't believe in a God who is in control of this world or tries to even control us. I believe that God practices let them, that God gives us free will and lets us live our lives. But God also models what God would like for us to be doing. And the best example of that model, of course, is Jesus. And the human historical Jesus modeled caring for the marginalized, living in a loving community. And the divine Jesus Christ models for us love and sacrifice, peace and strength. Our scripture today that Em read talks about the cross that Jesus died on, the cross that we are to carry. And the cross, in a sense, becomes that model for what it means to be willing to love others, even at the price of one's own life. That God models for us in every way love. But God doesn't control us. Instead, God practices those two words, which are?
Let them.
You got it, Andy. Okay.